Hey, this is Scott Hellman, and you're listening to Sound Sessions. We're here with Scott Hellman. He's playing the House of Blues tonight in Chicago. Scott, how's it going, man? Welcome to Sound
Sessions.
Really
good. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course, it's great to see you. So how was the ride coming back through Chicago? You're on tour right now. I mean, what's it like, man? Well, your single Hang Ups is picking up all over the world at the moment.
Yeah. Well,
what's that process like?
It's really cool to like be able to come to the States and play songs and actually have, you know, people in the audience know your music, which mm-hmm. is like, that's something that, you know, I think anyone wants, you know.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. And yeah, I mean, Hang Ups was just, you know, one of those singles that I guess got put on enough like playlists and played enough on the radio that, you know, there's people at the show that like, they're like, oh, I know this song. And that's really cool because it feels like something that you can build from. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah. I've been spinning it all day. And to be honest, when I was listening to your music, I saw what you look like first and I kind of judged the book by its cover. I'm like, this guy's going to be singing a lot of punk rock music.
Oh, really?
And it's a lot of heart.
That's so funny, man. Because like I'm from Canada
uh-huh.
and I've been doing this for, you know, a long time. Like I had a single that went platinum, which I released when I was 18. I know I look like I'm 12, but I'm 23 now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because I feel like I come to the States and people say that and I'm like, really? Because I feel like people in Canada are like the opposite. They're like, it's like poppy or it's, you know, okay. You look like younger or something. So I find that really funny. And that makes me feel really good. Thank you for saying that. I love punk music.
Of course, man. Of course. So when did you first get your tattoos and everything? When did this all come to be? You got a great sleeve going on, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a bit of a mess, but I think I know I'm going to finish it. I have a grand finale. But
I like it.
I got my first tattoo. I wear tight pants, but I got this like this thing,
the sun right there,
when I was 18 with my mom, and she didn't tell my dad we were going.
Oh, okay.
It was on my birthday and I came home with my mom with this tattoo. My dad was super not okay with it, and then it was fine, but that was my first tattoo, so thanks, mom.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. You have some pretty cool parents that got you. What was the, I guess, the inspiration for a tattoo? Like, one day you just said, "Mom, you know, I'm feeling it. I want to get a sun tattoo."
I don't know. I think I just wanted. You know what? I've spent the majority of my life looking a lot younger than I am,
mm-hmm.
And feeling way older inside than I am.
Yeah.
So I think I really wanted people to think that I was older. I've always wanted people to think I'm older.
Mm-hmm.
I've definitely always been insecure about that. And I think that was like the initial motivation. I was like, if I get tattoos, people will know I am like an adult.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I feel you.
And then now I'm kind of like, yeah, it didn't work. So if that's your motivation, it's not going to work for you.
Now
I just love tattoos, so I don't know.
I'm sure all your female fans are like, oh, I'm so glad he's talking about his tattoos right now. They love it so much.
Yeah, I do get asked a lot about it, which I get. I mean, like a lot of my favorite artists have tattoos, and mm-hmm. I definitely, you know, want to know why they have them and what their mm-hmm. the stories are. So, yeah.
So the tattoo with your mom then that you got, first of all, what was the inspiration behind them? Like, why the sun? Or is it like between you and
it's
your mom?
It's too cheesy to say. It's like, it's some dumb, stupid, like teenage, not that those emotions are stupid, but now that I look back on myself at that time, I'm like, It was a solar eclipse, which basically was like if you look at a solar eclipse, you go blind,
mm-hmm.
Which we know because anyways, I won't get into that. But so the whole idea was like, in order to like see the truth, you have to hurt yourself in the process.
Okay.
Wow. Which I think is a very real thing, but I don't know if that's necessarily how I feel anymore. But I'm glad that I have that because it's a reminder of like that thought in that time when I really thought like, you know, I have to really put myself through the ringer and go through a lot of stuff and like, you know, be willing to receive a lot of pain and suffering to get the things that I want.
Mm-hmm.
Which yeah, I guess is true. I don't know.
Man, you are a deep, deep old soul, aren't
Let's
you?
Let's talk about other
Jeez,
things.
Jeez, Scott.
Well, yeah.
I love it. Well, you know, you talk about curing yourself a lot in your music, too, mm-hmm. which I kind of think goes hand in hand. I mean, a lot of music artists who are putting their words to a page, it's a vulnerable thing to do, to put your feelings out to, for some, hundreds of people, for some at a bar, 10 people, for you, thousands of people. You know, how does that kind of release, or I guess in a few words cure you when you're putting your songs out there to the world?
Well, the funny thing is I think firstly, whether or not you become cured, I think is sort of irrelevant. I think the process of trying to cure yourself is something that's really beautiful because I think it's what everyone's trying to do. I mean, in some way or another, we're all trying to better ourselves or, you know, get rid of trauma or, you know, figure out who we're going to be in the future. And I think that that's a really profound thing to share. And, you know, to be able to do that and receive, receive love for it and also have people say, I'm going through the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like that shared grief and shared suffering is, I think, like what makes art beautiful.
I
think that's really special. And I've always really tried to attune myself to that sort of wavelength because I think that's where really special moments come from. And I don't think it always has to be like, you know, super deep or difficult. I think, you know, you could write a song about, you know, things that might seem flippant, but mm-hmm. That can also be, you know, trying to cure yourself, I guess. I don't know.
That's yeah. I totally get on the same wavelength of where you're cool. going with that. It's true because your music does speak to a lot of people, and I'm sure that a lot of people reach out to you and say, you know, how much you have changed them or you've helped them through difficult times.
Yeah.
And I myself, if I'm feeling blue, I want to hear the saddest like Dashboard Confessional song, or I want to hear the saddest like you know Cat Stevens music or something, mm-hmm. just to make myself feel that pain a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but I also think like it's so funny because I was thinking about this recently. Like my first record was, you know, there was definitely some sad, not sad, but I guess more sentimental, and there was definitely some angry songs on it. But most of it was pretty cheerful. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because I was going through a really hard time at that point. And a lot of the music was me trying to overcome those feelings. Mm-hmm. And then I got a little older and I wrote a proper album. And I think at that point I was really able to go like, okay, no, I'm going to address this. Like, I'm not going to sort of hide from these feelings. Like, I really want to figure out what's going on. And even if I fail, at least it was an attempt at trying to figure something out. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I feel it. That's awesome. So you're
Thanks.
Playing tonight here at the House
yes.
of Blues in Chicago. I'm guessing, is this your first time to Chicago? Have you been here before?
Been here 4 times, I think.
Wow.
Like that. So
Man.
I went on tour with Walk Off the Earth.
Yeah, I was reading up on
ago.
That. One of my favorite bands.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
They're amazing. I think that was like, 2015. Yeah, 2015. So we went across the states. That was my first tour here, mm-hmm. and it was just me and a guitar and a loop pedal. And I started that tour one kind of person, and I finished that tour a completely different person. Because I mean, getting up on stage in front of like 2,000 people every night with a guitar and a yeah. loop pedal and just your songs really. It strips everything down to like you have to ask yourself, who are you and like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah,
you know. So that was pretty cool. That really shaped me as a person. So yeah, this amazing country has really, you know, made me who I am, and mm-hmm. and I'm very thankful for that.
Well, we're happy to hear that, and I'm not gonna stop you and pause this for too much longer. You're here in America, and we know that Canadians are good drinkers. We do a segment here on this show when we take a look at your favorite drink, your favorite spirit. It could be anything from, you know, kiwi juice to whiskey and rye. And today, your favorite drink is the gin and tonic.
Well,
that's your favorite.
It is, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
So I love my grandfather, and my whole family's British. How racy can I get here?
You can get as racy as you want.
But I remember, so there was always gin in the house, mm-hmm. Because my grandfather would you know, always buy gin when he was, like, when he would come visit us in Canada, because mm-hmm. it was me, my brother, my mom, my dad. My parents were British, but everybody else was back in England. So my grandparents would come visit. My grandfather would always buy like a massive bottle of gin for himself. So, because he loved to drink gin. So
don't you love grandpas, by the
best.
Way?
So there was always gin in the house, and I would go, and when I was young, like, you know, you go in your parents' liquor cabinet and you try things.
I mean, no, I've never done that before. Mom and dad, I've never done that. I'm
You know, you take little sips or whatever.
Oh, of course.
Right?
Of course.
So that was
That's
always what
learn.
Was there. And I just loved gin. I always loved gin. And now, you know, if like I go visit my grandfather, he comes here. That's the thing we do. We sit down, we have a gin together. And it really makes me reflect on my heritage. It's like, I feel like a British Canadian, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, we never got rid of our queen, so.
Oh, that, you know, very
true. So you got to stay true to the Canadian Commonwealth and everything.
Well, Scott, I'd be honored if you and I could share a gin.
I would love to.
All right, I'm going to pour this for you real quick. Why don't you tell me about, you know, just your journey from, you know, playing probably open mics and going through this whole system of music, the highs, the lows, and now playing here on the stage. What were those early days like when you were doing concerts in local pubs and stuff?
Well, I mean, the first thing I did was I put music online, because it's pretty hard to like get gigs when you're like, you know, whatever, 14, 15. Like, nobody really wants to book you because they have to kick you out like of their bar after you've started playing, and there's not really a lot of like places to go play for crowds. So yeah, I just put stuff online and I got recognized through that. But you know, I didn't get the record deal where they were like, okay, we're gonna put you on the radio in 6 months. They were like, we want you to be a songwriter and be an artist, because we know you're a weird kid and you like to like make art and you're into that stuff. So I was really lucky for that reason. And so I played a lot of shows. I remember the first proper show I played was in this little cafe. Thank you.
Yes, cheers, my friend. Thank you, Treaty Oak, here in Chicago.
Thank you, yeah. Oh, man, you make them strong.
This, to be honest, I don't really drink a lot of gin, so this is kind of like my first foray into gin, so I don't know how much
Your first mistake is the Perrier.
Okay, yeah, tell me what I did wrong with these.
You got to get tonic water.
Tonic water,
and your second mistake is you got to get fresh, thin slice of lemon.
Okay, I knew we were missing something.
It's okay. No.
Blame Ryan.
Don't worry. I'm very thankful, but I'm
tonic water, yes. The lime, the gin. But is the gin okay?
Lemon,
at least?
Not lime. The lime. Sorry, my grandfather. but yes, that's very important to me.
Yeah. Sorry. What's your grandpa's name?
His name is Alan. He's probably my favorite person in the world.
Mm.
Yeah.
Grandpas just have that effect on people.
They do.
You know, it's just, you learn from them, because I was actually re-listening to Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA.
And yeah, I was like, great album.
What an amazing album. But a lot of his songwriting, I'm like, you know, the factory worker.
Yeah.
The life where it's getting tough and you just rise to the top. And I was thinking, why does he write this way? And he devotes a lot of it to his mom and his dad and his like Catholic upbringing.
Yeah.
And I would have never seen that. I just thought he was a low-life dude who lived in an alley. Ends up, never worked in a factory.
Right.
So,
and he didn't really know how to drive until he was like, I think, 20, like when he was old, like after Born to Run.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Which is just so funny to me.
Yeah, it's pretty weird that you can soak up that kind of artistry and put it into music.
Bruce, I think the really like mystical thing about Bruce Springsteen is how well he captured America.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, as a kid who grew up in Canada, that was like my access to that myth. Like, I didn't really know a lot about what America was all about and how it was different from Canada, but that whole myth of like, you know, running away from the small town to go to the big city, or like, you know, that song Atlantic City where he's like I gotta do some bad things because I need some money, and he's like talking to his wife and like the hardships of the working class, like that is such a, what a profound artist. Anyway,
yeah,
the gin makes me ramble about Bruce.
No, I like it. This is the reason why we do this, because I think people kind of let down their guards a little bit when we're just hanging out and just having a nice strong gin from a
strong one. If you guys need a strong gin, come here.
Cheers to that. So what kind of albums did your mom and dad or your brother or sister or whomever put on when you were growing up that you were thinking, wow, you know, instead of becoming that factory worker, maybe I could be a music artist?
Yeah. I didn't know, like, I knew I wanted to be an artist before I knew I wanted to be like a musician, because, you know, I loved writing and I just loved art in general. But, you know, my parents, I grew up on a lot of British 80s music, like Duran Duran, The Cure, a band called Imagine, just like weird, like mostly like disco sort of stuff like that. And like Robbie Williams. I love Robbie.
Yes.
So, you know,
yes.
I think when I was about maybe 16, maybe probably a little younger than that, you go through that thing where you're a teenager and you're like, I don't want to be anything like my parents. Mm-hmm. I want to be my own person. So I rejected all that music. I was like, that's all crap music. Mm-hmm. And then I loved like Canadian bands like The Tragically Hip, you know, Neil Young, Leonard Cohen, all that kind of stuff. Where my parents were like, I don't know what this is. Like, this is not, this wasn't our music. Mm-hmm. So I think that really shaped my musical identity, like grabbing onto all that Canadian music. And then when I came back around, I was like, oh, these guys aren't so bad. They're mm-hmm. just normal people like everyone else. I started going back and listening to all those records that I grew up on. And I'm like, that's, I think the cornerstone of my musical identity is probably more that British music than anything else.
Interesting. You know, you can see little bits and flavorful tastes of your of that into your music too. Your songwriting is so interesting and so intricate. And you know, when I'm listening to your music, it's almost like the songs kind of write themselves. You know,
when you're
it's just relaxing, cool pop music. And I'm, but when you're writing these songs, are you working on these beats? Are you putting the songs first or the lyrics first, I suppose? And I know that's a classic cliche question, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, I think for me, I know my strong suit is lyrical content. Like, I'm just... I know I'm a better songwriter than I am other things. That's, like, definitely my forte. Yeah, I mean, I have to be in the room because I have to know what I'm writing to.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about a great producer. I mean, a great producer can look at you and sense what you're feeling, and they can make a you know, the start of an idea that's like someone hands you that canvas and you're like, that's the exact size of the canvas that I want to paint on today. And yeah, it's a really it's just a really good special thing. So I love collaborating too, because I also really think music is so like naturally a shared experience. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, writing or even painting is a very solitary art form, I think, but music is essentially like how we communicate with each other. So it's kind of weird to write a song by yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool. It can be really profound. I mean, I've obviously done it, and usually, like, not usually, mostly it doesn't work, but sometimes it does work and a song will end up on a record. But
yeah,
there's nothing like sitting across from someone and being like, yes, we both understand this idea and we're going to make it happen. Yes. So.
Speaking about that, we can't go through this interview and not mention that Alessia Cara collaboration
that
she did.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that blew me away.
Thank you. Yeah.
So how did that come to be?
Well, we did a thing together. I think it was like a festival, some show, and our moms were both there, mm-hmm. and they became friends. I guess they both have similar, like, their kids are doing similar things.
Yeah, you could say that.
You know, traveling the world and like making music for a living.
Not really what most kids are doing.
Right.
Most kids are going to summer camp, going to college.
Yeah, so I think they hit it off just by that similarity. And so then me and Alessia just became friends through that. And I just had her number, and we started these hotel sessions. And I was like, you know, it would be really cool to just do a song with her. And then I instantly thought of that Whitney Houston song. I don't know why, too. I was just like, that's
amazing
song.
One of the greatest songs of all time. I want to
it really, really is. Actually, it's so cool. The people that wrote that song commented on the video.
Wow.
Saying, thanks for singing like our song. And I was like, dude,
I mean,
this
if you
is too much.
If you haven't watched it, you got to check out this the Hotel Sessions with Scott and Alessia. I mean, it blows you away to hear your voices because they blend so well. Is there going to be more collaborations?
I just don't want to drink in the microphone. You know when people... Anyway, sorry, what?
Well, the thing is, I think it sounds like really nice. I love the clanging of the glass that you can hear, so it seems really drinking.
You don't want to do that in the microphone.
Like a cup of soup or something.
Yes, there will be more. We have another one that we just put out with Johnny Orlando, who's a great singer in Canada. And I mean, he's an international singer, but he's from Canada as well. And we have a super exciting guest coming up that I can't mention.
Oh.
Because it's got to be a surprise. But like, seriously, when I got the call from this person, they called me in a car and I was like unable to speak properly. So
it's huge.
Yeah, really exciting. So stay tuned. Go to my channel and subscribe.
Man, now I'm kind of Randy Jackson from American Idol. No? Okay. Dang it. I knew. I just thought I'd give it a guess. Well, that's awesome, man. You have so many cool things on the horizon. I can't believe, like, from the amount of work you did with Bungalow, and then you put out the Hang Up Session. And Hang Up Session, I'm mixing up my things.
Yeah,
it must be the gin.
Yeah, no, it is the gin.
It is the gin. I made these way too strong. But you know, where do you see yourself going in the next couple of years? Like, what's going to be the moment when you're like, holy smokes, I made it?
Yeah, I think I'd love to be able to just do like a really nice big headline tour here in the States. I don't doubt that whatever comes my way will be, you know, what's supposed to come. Like, I don't really necessarily believe in some kind of planned future, but I just believe, like, if you care about something enough, that's all you can do, mm-hmm. you know? And it's just like, you just got to keep pushing forward, and wherever the world takes you, it will. So yeah, but I have goals, and I try to keep them, like, I guess not too defined, because I feel like it's more interesting to end up places than it is to go, like, this is where I want it to be. Because that's gratifying for a sec, but I find it way more interesting to be like, whoa, I really didn't think I was going to be here. Like, this is wild.
Just taking that journey, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So when, and thank you again for your time today. This
No,
has been,
anytime. Dude, you brought the gin. I'm here. Like, let's go. It's all good.
This is very introspective, and I love the way that you look at your life and music. There's a lot of people who are sitting in their basements, in their parents' basements, in their bedrooms, writing songs on their guitar or their piano, who are young, and you know, they look up to you, and they want to get to the point where you are. What's that little nugget of advice that you can give them?
It's so hard, man, because there's so much life, you know? There's so much life to live. And I think the thing that I really believe is, like, I never said to myself, I never said I wanted to be famous. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought it would be cool, but that was never a goal. And I never really thought, hey, I'm going to be, like, a singer mm-hmm. or, you know, I'm going to be this or that. I really think that, like, if you pay attention to life and you are, like, a student of life and you're intrigued by life and you just try to better yourself as a person, that's way more important than, like, becoming, you know, this or that.
Yeah.
And I think if you do that, if you really make yourself a project and you work really hard on that, whatever you want will come, you know? Like, I really believe that. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, just work really hard. Whatever you want, just work really hard.
Man, have you ever thought about being, like, a philosopher?
No.
Or like a college professor?
No, I'm scared of that. I did really love philosophy in high school, but I don't know, maybe.
Okay.
I've been told sometimes I ramble, so that's probably why.
All right, well, last question, and this is an easy one. What'd you think about that Game of Thrones ending?
Look, I feel like it's hard because the problem with TV is, like, these are real human beings mm-hmm. that are, like, acting. It's not just, like, a book. You could write, you know, you could... Like it's not fictional because there's real human beings, and I get that, like, they had to wrap up the show.
Yeah.
So I don't think they started the show up being like, you know what, man, we're gonna make this ending suck. Mm-hmm. They were like, we're just gonna make the best show possible. So I kind of go like, I enjoyed the show so much. Mm-hmm. I wish the ending could have been extended a bit, but it's cool. Like, you don't watch a show for the end. You watch a show for all the great moments that it gives you.
Yeah. That's a
but,
great.
Yeah.
Through
the
line.
End sucked. Like, it kind of sucked.
I feel you on that. I know. I feel the same exact way. But you know what? It's the through line of this interview is much like the Game of Thrones. It's just a journey.
Right.
We're
just
trying to find the
journey.
End.
But I really wish that Bran was the Ice King. That was like my
that would have been nice
hope. But mm-hmm. that you can only dream.
You can only dream.
And we
everybody.
Can all just pretend that it ended differently.
True. Too. True.
We pretend things all the time.
Yeah. Nobody. I mean, if a lot of people haven't watched it yet, you could just tell them that's the ending.
Right.
And that could be it.
Yeah.
Hey, man. I appreciate you more than ever.
Thank you
so much for joining us here on Sound Session. Can we get a cheers?
Boom.
Thanks, buddy.
Sorry for the rambling. Thanks for the gin.
Can't get enough of Sound Sessions? Like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter @SoundSeshPod, and check us out on Instagram @SoundSessionsWGN.